Well, it's after Easter. Jesus is risen from the grave. The tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled aside. His death garments are still in that cave. And he's risen into the heavens, into glory, ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the rest of the disciples, they're actually still here. They didn't rise. They didn't get glorified to heaven. They're still in Jerusalem. They're still in Galilee, in their homes and in their neighborhoods. And I feel like that's sort of the reality we're living in right now. See, Easter happened. It was glorious. Actually, after Easter, I looked up a bunch of different church services just to, you know, check out the competition. And what I was really encouraged by was that, you know, across the board, pretty much everyone, they had this sort of message that even in these pandemic restrictions, life and community continue to burst forth out of the church. It was really quite amazing. We all celebrated, like every church almost celebrated this most important day in the church calendar with such passion and resolve. And it was neat to see that in every service that I watched. But I guess that brings me back to our current situation, that Jesus burst out of the grave. He rose from the dead on Sunday, but then Monday came along and here we are, and we're still quarantined. We're still safer at home. We're still sheltered in place. We're still grounded. People are still sick. People are still dying. People are still putting their lives at risk. We're still in the middle of this outbreak. And our grief and our anxiety, it's still there. It's still present. And I know that we're all feeling it, because as I've talked to some people, talked to some of you, I hear people say, well, you know, it's hard, but I really can't complain because, well, I'm still working, or I still have food. I'm actually still healthy right now. But as I listen to all these people and these comments showing all this guilt for feeling like it's difficult, it actually just shows me that we are actually all feeling the same thing. That this virus and this pandemic is actually causing everybody to feel loss. That it's hard for the less fortunate, but it's actually still hard for the more fortunate as well. That this virus is affecting everybody, the entire human race, in major ways. And for the next few weeks, I want to explore that. But more than just talk about the coronavirus and that impact, I want us to discover how God is impacting us during this time. You know, in the book of Job, we find a story about a man who the scriptures refer to as blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil. And Job has this large family. He has a lot of wealth. He has a pretty sizable workforce, a lot of employees. And there's this line in the book that says Job is the greatest man among all the peoples in the East. Kind of reminds me of the most interesting man in the world. And so Job, who has all this stuff, all this blessing, one day it says everything changes. And in a matter of what, I don't know, it seems like maybe a couple of weeks, Job loses everything. Sound familiar? He loses his livestock. He loses his wealth. He even falls ill to some sort of virus. And then Job's friends come to him. And it says that when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Now, what's happening in this part of the story is that Job is in mourning. He's grieving his loss. And what his three friends are doing is they're participating in this Jewish ritual act of sitting Shiva. Now, the act of Shiva is interesting because the person who is grieving sits low to the ground, you know, sometimes on low chairs or maybe on the floor like Job. And the friends and family of the mourner, they join this person by sitting low. And the act symbolizes the feeling of being brought low, of feeling down because of the great loss that you've experienced. Now, other things that people do when they're sitting Shiva is they refrain from shaving. And so even see in quarantine, a lot of men are not shaving. And what they do is they actually sequester themselves in their home. And here's the reason. It's because they feel like if they go out, they're going to lose focus. And what they need to do is be alone in their home so that they can focus on what God is doing inside of them. And that will eventually bring them healing. Now, when Jews visit a Shiva home, like what Job's friends are doing, what they do is they just simply come to be with a person. They're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to ask questions. They're just supposed to remain silent until the mourner themselves actually says something. And the emphasis is actually just on being present. Being present in the other person's grief so that God can work inside of them. And so they all just sort of plant themselves there. Or maybe another way to say it is that they ground themselves. Do you ever get grounded when you were a kid? And if you're a kid or a child or youth in our congregation, do your parents still ground you? You know, like when you do something that maybe you weren't supposed to, and as a form of discipline, they tell you that you can't go over to your friend's house and hang out or go play. They tell you that you can't go to the movies with your buddies or your friends. They tell you that you can't go hang out at the mall with everybody. The people still go hang out at the mall? I don't know. But maybe for youth today, it's more of a virtual grounding, right? Maybe you can't go online, or you can't chat, or you can't go play video games with all of your friends. Either way, there's this sense that you're being restricted from movement, that you just have to kind of hunker down, plant yourself in one place. And all the fun that you wanted to have is removed. All the places that you wanted to go, they're taken off the agenda. All the things that you look forward to, they're canceled or postponed. Sound familiar? And then for this brief period, as you're grounded, your whole world shrinks to just your house or maybe even your bedroom. And I think it's the hope of all parents not to cause our kids torture or pain, but in that smaller, less stimulating and quieter world, a change actually begins to happen. You see, we begin to reflect on the forces at play around us, our influences, our desires, our impulses, our participation in the community that we're in. And so even though we're bored out of our mind and we're grieving and we're not able to go outside and socialize, there is something very real and active happening inside of us as we sit in our rooms and sit in our houses. And I think maybe that's what can happen to us now. Now, I don't think God is trying to punish us through COVID-19, but I do believe we should pay attention to what God is doing inside of us. And whether you are sheltering in place or you're an essential worker, You know, it doesn't matter actually, because the whole world, the whole human race is grounded at the same time. We're all experiencing the same thing. As a healthcare worker, something is still going on inside of you right now. As a senior citizen, something is going on inside of you. As a teenager, as a student that is doing distance learning, something is going on inside of you. As a parent or a single adult who's trying to work from home, something is going on inside of you. What is God doing inside of you? Now, Job has this provocative line that he speaks to his wife in chapter 2. And she suggests he just curse God for all the loss and the grief that he's experiencing. And then Job says this to his wife. He says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" How can we accept trouble from God? Or maybe a better way of saying that is, how can we accept God's growth for us in the midst of grief? Christian author Nicholas Wolterstorff, in his book Lament for a Son, writes about the grief that he experiences when he loses his son to a mountain climbing accident. And he writes this of the grieving process. He says, in talking to someone who's trying to grieve with them, he says, "I need to hear from you that you are with me in my desperation. To comfort me, you have to come close. Come sit beside me on my mourning bench." Now, as we close each week, I'm inviting all of us to assume that posture of sitting Shiva and asking God to come sit beside us in our mourning bench. And as we sit, we'll sing together at the end of each service the old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," as our prayer for God to work within the grief and the loss that we experience at this time. Let's pray. Father, we welcome you into this season of our lives, where our city, where our state, where our nation and the entire world is still in the midst of this pandemic and still trying to figure out what life is going to be like going forward and what life is like now. Can we experience something even now as we live grounded lives? We ask God that over these next few weeks, that you would reveal to us how you are stirring something inside of us, even though outside there's a lot of chaos, a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, and a lot of sickness and pain. Come sit with us, Lord, on our mourning bench, and show us how you are working within our grief. In Christ's name, amen.
Evergreen, let's sing one last song together, a song that invites the Lord into our grounded spaces. Can't go back to the beginning. I can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle is a place where you promised to be.
As we close today, I want to remind you all that we'll be having our first online quarterly congregational meeting over the Zoom conferencing platform. at 11 a.m. after service today. So please check our website for more information about that. And now receive the blessing of the benediction. During this time where we are all living grounded lives, God is doing something inside each one of us. May you discover what that is as He leads you on a journey from grieving to growth. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
All you are, will you meet?